It's Angela with the podcast Refocus with Angela Stevens. I am so delighted today. I've got an amazing guest. His name is Alex High, and he was diagnosed with ADHD at the age of 20. And he has really used that throughout his life. And as a matter of fact, he's got a book out right now on Amazon called Finding Holiness Despite Distractions. He's an ADHD coach, and he specializes with teens and adults. So Alex, welcome. And what did I miss out of that introduction?
I think that's pretty much it. I mean, I think you only gave the subtitle of the book.
Oh, yes.
The main title is Catholicism and ADHD, Finding Holiness Despite Distractions. But yeah.
Great. Thank you so much for clarifying that. And we will put that link on our website as well. So first of all, I'm so interested in your background because many people don't know that they have ADHD until later in life. So I'm curious to know, you found out that you had ADHD at the age of 20. So would you mind telling us kind of how that came about?
Yeah. So, I mean, I'd always kind of suspected, I don't remember when I first heard of ADHD or what it was, but there was always something in the background, the back of my mind that said, I can't focus as well as I think I should be able to. And so kind of going through life and in school, especially in school, I was never quite reaching my full potential, like to the point where I even started to believe that I was just average and not really anything special. Mm. And my mom kept telling me that I should be getting A's, you're so smart, and I didn't believe her. And so finally, one day in college, I was trying to focus in prayer, actually, mm-hmm. and it wasn't going well, and I was getting so down on myself, and I finally said, okay, like, I need to see if I have ADHD, because this isn't doing anything positive for my self-esteem and way of viewing myself. So that's when I first reached out to get a diagnosis for ADHD.
Got it. So basically your mother was right, as all mothers. I'm joking. I just had to give her that plug because I'm a mom of a son who has ADHD. Tell us about that. So basically then in 17 to 18, you really, you know, dove right into heavy research and writing, which resulted in your book. So just highlight us a little bit on that, because I think that's really interesting.
Yeah. So after college, I didn't really know what I wanted to do with my life. I spent some time as a freelance writer, made no money. Mm-hmm. And then I went back, got a master's in criminal justice, wanted to teach that at the collegiate level. So I was trying to get into a doctoral program, did some substitute teaching, couldn't get into a doctoral program. So I did some more freelance writing and some more substitute teaching, and was really dissatisfied with where I was in life. Couldn't quite figure out what was going on. And I think eventually it kind of got to the point where I realized that it was my ADHD that was holding me back. So if I needed to figure out what I wanted to do with my life, I needed to get a handle on my ADHD. And so I wanted there to be a book out there for Catholics with ADHD, and one didn't exist. So I said, well, I might as well try writing one, see if that helps me at all. And so, yeah, just diving into the research and the writing really helped me realize that I have a passion for helping others with ADHD.
That's really great, because I'd like to point out something that a lot of teens and young adults are going through right now. A lot of them really don't know what to do. They're frustrated, because they have talked with me as well, because my son's in college, and I will talk with a lot of his friends and individuals that are in his classes. And what I find is that they say, I'm in college, but I really don't know what I want to do. And I think there's a really good message here for students and adults and parents, saying it's okay if they really don't know what they want to do. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, I think it's an opportunity to explore. And there's nothing that says, you know, what you do right after college is what you have to do for the rest of your life. Like, if that were the case, I would have been like a freelance writer and not making any money.
Right.
or the second thing you do after college. Because if that were true, then I would be in the criminal justice field, you know, right. But I'm not in either field. And so I think it's okay to explore. And, you know, one of the things that I really learned from my criminal justice courses was kind of like the way the brain works. And that really got me interested in the brain. And I can use that nowadays in my work as an ADHD coach and how the brain operates and how that affects people in their day-to-day life.
Absolutely. And, you know, one of the things that you said is that you went to the ADD Coaching Academy and you went through that training. Tell us a little bit about, you know, your perception before being a certified coach and then completing that. What made you better after you went through that?
Oh, what made me better?
Mm-hmm. In terms of coaching, in terms of learning, you know, other avenues or ideas of working with students and adults.
Yeah, I think, you know, the training program was ADHD specific, but it also covered general life coaching. And so just kind of the process that you take to make changes in your life, really focusing on more of the who rather than the what. We're human beings, not human doings. Mm-hmm. So really focusing on who the person is, what their strengths are, how they can use their strengths. So yeah, it was very much strengths-based, and I really like that approach.
Wonderful. And you are a member of a lot of those organizations. So again, we'll put this on our website if anyone wants to reach out to you about that. And then, of course, you know, look at your book that you've written. So I want to talk to you a little bit about, you know, your journey with all of this. So in terms of coaching, you know, I think a lot of people are curious, what are people coming to you about today? I know you can't be specific, but are they, you know, is it just being productive? Is it coming out of being loneliness? Or kind of what are the areas that people are struggling with right now?
Yeah, I suppose one of the main ones is productivity, trying to get stuff done. A lot of people struggled with being at home and trying to work. A lot of people, you know, struggled in school, doing school from home. You know, a lot of my teenage clients, that's kind of their main focus is schoolwork. But also, you know, typical ADHD things too, as far as, you know, focusing when it's not exciting, controlling impulsivity, being productive when you don't want to be productive, doing the things you know you want to do, but for whatever reason aren't doing, breaking thought patterns and kind of loops where you do the same thing over and over again and you'd like to do something different.
And so you know,
there's a lot.
There is a lot. And one of the things that it's been in the back of my mind is that you've got apparently these, you know, kids of all ages that have been home with their parents for a year and they've got to be ready to go, you know, ready to get back to their friends, get back to life and get back to finding out who they are versus staying at home all the time. I would think that that's got to be in the back of their minds of many that you may or may not be coaching right now.
Yeah, I really like to focus on the who in my coaching. And so like with those kids who have just been at home, yeah, they haven't had the chance to be out and really learn and grow and become the person they were meant to be.
Absolutely. I agree. So the other thing that I want to highlight about your style of coaching is you and I had spoke a little bit about this, but it seems like you have a different approach where you really give your clients space to process. Can you kind of highlight that just a little bit?
Yeah. So sometimes it comes across as me not being engaged or being low energy, but it's not really true. I know I personally like time to process. And so I try to give my clients the space to process. But I also try and match their energy. If they're more of a high energy person, I try and go with them. But yeah, it's really adapting to the client and treating them like an individual and not the same as everyone else.
Okay, great. I hear that all the time that, you know, it does take time to process. No matter what age you are, you know, you have to think about it. You have to think about, you know, even if you're in a counseling session, what did the counselor say that kind of sparked that energy and that conversation of where it was going to go? So I completely understand that. And I can appreciate that because I think if you rush right to the next topic, you've missed it.
Exactly.
So the one thing I want to talk to you about personally is, you know, Alex, when you start a day and you're not focused yourself, what do you do? Because we're all human, right? So you've got to have some of those days when you're just not yourself. So how do you bring yourself together to have game on and really be focused for your clients?
I mean, the first thing I do is I walk up to my office. It's a spare bedroom in my house, and it's the place where I work. And it's where I try to do very little other than work. So that way my brain, when I go in there, it's alerted to the fact that it's time to work. The other thing is I try to have the right thing to start off my day. Sometimes it's a client, sometimes it's simply planning. My brain likes to plan, so that's going to get me energized in the morning. But it's doing little things to sort of get the brain engaged.
Mm-hmm. Right. So and you're exactly right. And one of the things that, you know, you mentioned earlier was productivity. So if you've, you know, if you take you as an example, and you're not yourself, and you're not being productive yourself, what tips do you have either for yourself or for other people that they can try to be more productive in today's world?
Yeah, I think it's trying to not reinvent the wheel, looking back at the times where you were focused and engaged and getting stuff done. What was it about those times that really got you going? Is it, you know, background music? And background music itself can be broken down to so many different categories because of all the genres of music there are. And sometimes when I answer a question, I get so into it that I forget what the question is. So if you could repeat the question, that would be fantastic.
Mm-hmm. Right. And the other thing is productivity, right? So whether it's you or your clients, when you have somebody that's not being productive, let's take for school. If you have somebody that's in college that just can't focus, you know, what do they do? Do they talk to the professor? Do they, you know, put headphones in? What's a good tip? Because we've got a lot of people going to school right now that are in this boat that we may or may not know of. So I'd love to give them those tips.
Yeah, so it's doing little things that sort of trick your brain into getting to work, like telling yourself, I'm just going to set up my schoolwork. And once your schoolwork is out, it's so much easier to get started and do the thing, as opposed to, oh, okay, I got to go and do all of this all at once. Well, no, it's step by step, breaking it down into little tiny pieces and going from there and just trying to get one tiny step done. And then do the next tiny step and the next tiny step.
Right. And I read an article this weekend that said, you know, only make a to-do list of even five things and get those five things done first before you move on to the others. Because if you don't, it's kind of like the elephant in the room that's always there hanging over your, you know, it's just kind of over your head. It doesn't go away.
Yeah, it gives you a sense of accomplishment to get all five of those things cleared off. When you've got a to-do list of 100 things, doing five, oh, wow, that's hardly a dent into the whole huge list. So right. Keeping that to-do list small, I think, is a great idea.
Right. You know, and there's a lot of different ways to do that. But that's something I just read. It really hit home with me this weekend because I thought, you know, that's right, because we kind of prioritize our list. But if we only have, you know, three to five and we get those done, we can tackle the rest, you know, at a much rapid pace than we could the first three to five. So that was a little tip I picked up over the weekend. So the other thing that I wanted to ask you was that, you know, you are very strong in your faith. And I want to be clear that Alex does not just coach people who are Catholic. He coaches everybody from young adults to teens to adults. So he is, you know, his faith is very important to him. However, you know, he teaches and he helps a lot of people that may not be Catholic. Would you agree with that, Alex?
Yep. Okay. It's all about, you know, in coaching, you never want to like push anything on anybody. So you want them to choose what they want to do to maintain their brain and get focused. But, you know, when it comes to the faith aspect of it, if you want to talk about your faith, that's great. I have clients that have brought that up. But for the most part, we focus on, you know, the typical ADHD things, getting stuff done, staying focused, and maintaining a sense of control in a life that sometimes seems like there's not a lot of control.
Absolutely. But, and I do want to talk about your faith for just a minute, because Catholicism, you rely on your faith to become who you are and to help you every day, right? So, you know, how does that help you? Because a lot of people, whatever their faith is, you know, that is such a strong area that I always recommend you need to have something to go on. You know, when you're stressed out, do you go exercise? Do you go, you know, in prayer? Do you go for a walk? What do you do? But faith, I hear over and over in many different areas for people that is such a important part of their day.
Yeah, it really helps, at least for me personally. It helps me make sense of the world. Just with all the craziness that goes on, it can be nice to have a loving God that's in control and has a plan and is working for your benefit. Having the knowledge of that just really helps me get through my day, really helps me get through life in general, and it brings a sense of peace and serenity to my life.
I love that. That's simply said and perfectly said, because that's, you know, again, everybody has to go somewhere. And if they don't, they should find that, because that is such an important part of my day. It's important to a lot of other people, and everybody has their own style. But I think that's a part of who makes you great in who you are and what you do.
Thank you.
You're welcome. So some of the things I want to talk to you about, Alex, was, you know, who inspires you on a daily basis?
You know, there are a lot of people. I take little things from a lot of different people. I have a coach myself. He's really good at activating my sense of creativity, my sense of curiosity. And so just kind of the way he models his life gives me something to strive for as a coach. And then, you know, from my grandfather, I learned the meaning of hard work. And this is going to sound a little silly, but I learn a lot from my dogs. I've got two dogs.
Not at all. Please share with us.
And just kind of the simplicity that they go through life with. Also, you know, they bring me joy. You know, they let me know that I am loved. And yeah, they love to play, or the one does this. The other one is older and it's kind of overplaying, but
okay. And we got to know what kind they are, by the way. So okay, tell us what kind they are.
So I have a 16-year-old beagle named Charlie, and then a 2-year-old Alaskan Klee Kai named Ace.
I love that. That's awesome. Do they get along?
For the most part, every once in a while, the younger one will annoy the older one, but
yeah. And that's true with humans, because if anyone has a younger sibling, you know, they can be annoying. And sometimes kids with ADHD as well, so because they're always hyper. And what's interesting is a lot of them are so brilliant, but they have a lot of energy. And people don't know how to accept that. And you're right. A dog knows how to accept that, because Dr. Hollowell was on one of our podcasts, and he even said, if you're sad or you're depressed, go get a dog, you know, because that is something that you're responsible for that is going to love you back and give you that peace away from people that might be difficult to deal with in your life. And so he actually recommends that. So I think that's really important that you brought that up. So on a daily basis, you know, when you know, you're not counseling on one day, or you're basically with you. Do you exercise, or what is it that gets you kind of that peace? I know your faith does, but does anything else come out when you're really trying to balance yourself?
Classical music really gets me calm and sometimes focused. And just engaging in something that I'm passionate about. If I'm not coaching, it's diving into some research around the subject of ADHD or sleep. I'm really passionate about the topic of sleep.
Yeah. And would you mind sharing? Because I talk about that a lot, and a lot of people don't realize the value of sleep that helps you the next day focus.
Exactly. You know, both before and after learning, a good night's sleep is going to help you learn, getting you ready to learn, and then sort of consolidating all the information you've taken in. It boosts your executive functions, you boost your creativity, And one of my favorite studies they've ever done on sleep found that you look more attractive when you've gotten plenty of sleep.
Interesting. I love that. It's so important because it affects everything. It really does. It affects your mood. It affects your energy level. It affects everything. So I'm really big on that topic because a lot of people, whether you're working in chronic pain or whatever that might be, you know, every day is a new day and you start it over. But if you don't have that sleep and that rest, you're not all there. It's just a struggle.
Exactly. Absolutely. I would agree with that 100%.
Yeah. It's taken me, I'm 53. So it's taken me a long time to learn that because, I have ADHD and I go all the time, but I have to really take that time to make sure that I get my own rest, you know, not only for myself, but for my family and for my, you know, just for my life, you know, because I have a lot of things going on and I feel like if I'm not all there, I'm not giving 100% of myself to the things that I'm working on and the people I'm working with.
Yeah, I would agree there too. Yeah, just giving 100% is much harder when you are tired and you're just not yourself when you're tired. You're more irritable. It's harder to get along with others. And so it's just easier to live a more fulfilled life if you're well-rested.
Mm-hmm. Definitely. And, you know, I think about that because I think about, you know, even high schoolers that may not have a great home life. And so there's got to be a way for them to get that break. And so even napping or something like that can be helpful in, you know, in those dynamics and those situations. But I noticed, you know, when you were diagnosed at 20, when you mentioned that you have a coach yourself, and I have a coach. I hired a coach when I was 45. It was the best money and an investment that I've ever done in my life. But for you, when did you decide to get a coach? And then what was it that, you know, made you say, hey, I need somebody to help me with this?
It was kind of during my coach training program. I thought I could do it by myself and just help people. But kind of through the process of learning about coaching, I realized, oh, this is something really beneficial. And I need this in my life to hold me accountable, to help me grow, to help me grow my business and just be the person that I'm meant to be. And my coach is really good about highlighting my strengths and getting me to play to those.
I love that. And they're objective. It's not like they're, you know, your cheerleader all the time. They are, but they're going to say, hey, you know, Alex, I noticed that you're not doing this. So why? Right. I mean, they will call mm-hmm. you out on certain things. And we don't always want to hear that, but we need to hear that because it's that roadblock, right? That's keeping us from advancing us to wherever we're trying to go.
Yeah. I really like that you brought up a roadblock and identifying those roadblocks because that's going to be keys. How do you get around that roadblock? Do you go to the left? Do you go to the right? Do you go over? Do you go under?
Right. And that's exactly what happened to me because, like I said, I have three businesses and I was, you know, trying to do this and everything, not just this. It was like many different things. And he said, listen, you've done this your whole life, but you've got to be the CEO. You have to delegate, you have to hire, you have to do this. And it was really that partner with me, getting me to the same place and to a higher level of where I needed to be as my businesses were growing. So again, it was the best money that I've ever spent. And so I highly recommend that. And if you are looking for a coach, there's so many ways to find them, but make sure if you're looking for a coach that has an ADHD specialty, somebody like Alex is somebody that you should really reach out to. And again, we'll put that on there. Alex, last question. It's probably our most favorite question of all of our podcasts. Music, as you mentioned before, is so healing, right? It can get us up. It can kind of calm us down. It can keep us balanced, you know, but if you're going to to whatever it might be, to that speaking event or to, you know, it can be anything that's really important to you and you have to have game on. What is the music or the genre or the artist that you listen to when you need to get there?
So earlier I mentioned my love for classical music. Mm-hmm. So it'll come as a great shock to learn that the song that I would use to pump myself up and get in the right mindset is AC/DC's Thunderstruck.
Oh, you know, it's interesting. I've only had one song that's been mentioned twice, but now I have two. And that is the one that we had another CEO that mentioned that was the one that got him going. So yeah, it's a good pick. And again, you're exactly right. Classical music is awesome. I love it too. But, you know, we all have that drive of, you know, we've got to get ourselves pumped up. We've got to get ourselves, you know, in that zone. And I've heard that over and over. So, you know, different things. And so that one, you have nailed it as a CEO specialty as well. So it's a great pick. So we'll definitely put your information on our website. Anything else that we missed out of all of this? Because I could go on and on about you, but I think anyone who reaches out to you is really going to be delighted to know you and hear what you do and really engage with you and find out how you can help them become a better self in whatever direction that might be.
I think we've covered it all. I mean, I could go on about the song. I could go on about coaching or my dogs or whatever. I could talk a long time about a lot of different things.
That's great. And that's what makes you you. And you have a good perspective of what is going on with a lot of different people. So again, we'll put this on our website, but Alex, thank you so much for your time. This has been incredible. Again, check his book out, Catholicism and ADHD, Finding Holiness Despite Distractions. You can sign up for coaching. He does both virtual and in person. He is in South Dakota, so you can find him on a virtual session as well. And he's very warm and engaging, so I highly recommend that you reach out to him.
Thank you.
You're welcome. So Alex, again, thank you so much. We graciously appreciate your time.
Oh, yeah. Thanks for having me.
You bet. Today's podcast is sponsored by Refocus Careers. If you are not sure what you want to do in life, or maybe you're not happy in your job, check us out at refocuscareers.com. You can get career coaching there, but also check us out at our podcast, which is refocuscareers.com/podcast. And what you're going to find is you're going to find different interviews with executives from all different types of careers. And it may just give you a new idea, a new start, and a new career in your new life.